And at 11, it's Pacific Underground, a show put together by Asian and Pacific Islanders, talking about the mic into their own hands. Thanks to KABU members for your continuing support. Please take a moment right now to vote for KABU and KABU's show hosts in the Willamette Week's Best of Portland poll. Go to kboo.fm to find out more about that. But wait, don't go away. Tonight, it's with heavy hearts that we're going to bid farewell to Jamie Haddad, who's going into the Peace Corps. She'll leave for the African continent on Saturday. Jamie, we want to thank you for all the work that you've done here as a reporter, as an anchor, as an editor, and also as a chef. Best wishes on your future from KABU Community Radio, and do good out there in the world. We know you will.
Thank you, everyone. You oh, gosh, you're going to make me cry, Robert. Thank you, everyone. Aww. Good night.
KABU News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Science, technology, engineering, and math, known altogether as the STEM, STEM fields, may not always have proper funding and support in low-income communities and communities of color. One organization, iUrban Teen, is doing a lot to change that, combining STEM programs with the arts. KABU's Lisa Loving spoke with Dina Perot, the founder of iUrban Teen, and Dr. Greg Martin, a member of the organization's board of directors and an active participant in the program.
I'm Lisa Loving. We're joined today with Dina Perot. She's the founder of iUrban Teen, which is a science, technology, education, math, and arts program. We're also here with Dr. Greg Martin. He's on the board of directors of iUrban Teen, and he does many other things as well. So thank you so much for being here today. And I just wanted to start out and say, what is iUrban Teen?
iUrban Teen is a STEM plus arts program that I created about 5 years ago to fill the gap for STEM and youth of color. It started in Vancouver, Washington, actually, and then just started growing organically to four different states. So we're excited about all the programming that we have and all the families involved in iUrban Teen.
What are you doing with this program now? You're always growing this program. What's happening now? Where are you going?
Well, right now, what we have, and I meant to even talk about this just a moment ago, we start our programs with what we call a STEM summit that we have on a university or college campus. And I do that intentionally because we want to have these kids breathe in that environment, what that environment feels like to be on a college campus. And so during that summit, we have six fast-paced workshops, all STEM-related. You know, we're the full STEM, so we show them career opportunities in healthcare, energy, cybersecurity, all the technology realm, and you name it, we do it. So then after we have the summit, once we create that spark, then we have year-long programming that we do with the youth. We have our STEM industry days where we take them to companies to learn more about what those companies do, what it takes to get there, and what the career opportunities are. Then we have our coding programs. We have our digital programs and our GIS mapping and big data programs as well. And we're family-based, so our parents and families help drive this program.
Dr. Greg Martin, you are super involved with early childhood education, and you're also a tech nerd, if I can call you a nerd.
Yes.
How did you get involved with iUrban Teens?
Well, the previous advisory board chair, John Pierce, met me at a CIO social function, and we got talking about different interests, and he mentioned his involvement in iUrban Teen, and I told him I'd be very interested in learning more about that. And he invited me to a meeting, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I grabbed them. I don't let them go. Once they just come to one meeting, I keep them.
And when you say CIO, you're talking about the corporate sector, specifically coming from private industry is where you have made these connections.
That's correct.
All right. Where are you in your cycle of recruiting young people for iUrban Teens and then also working with their families? What's going on this summer?
Well, you know, we're always accepting in youth. I get a lot of emails from across the country with asking how can they sign their youth up. And I say, just give me your email address and we'll keep you in the loop on what we're doing in your city. So what we have going on this summer, we are going to be launching our 10-week coding program. Right now, we're working on a special project with the city of Portland, where our youth are helping to create an app for parks and recreation. I'm really excited about that opportunity. And that should be wrapping up in the next few weeks. And once that finishes up, then we will roll out our own curriculum, our own iCode program in the Portland metro area.
Explain to us what coding is, because as we're older, we know kids can do it, and that's a little bit of a cynical thing to say. But can you describe what are the young people doing exactly?
First, they're learning a new language, and there are various different languages that talk to machines in different ways. The kids that are working for the city of Portland are working pretty much on the cutting edge of the coding front, because they're developing a mobile application, and mobility is the new thing. And so, you know, it's a set of instructions that cause a device to behave in a way that the user desires it to behave. Writing those instructions is called coding. It's as simple as that.
Are they making some sort of an application so that young people can find out super fun things that the park district is doing this summer? I'm just speculating.
You got it. That's exactly what it's for. You know, it's made by teens for teens. In fact, when I told the mayor's office about this project and how beneficial it would be for our youth, I always look at things in multi-layers. So besides just coding and learning how to code and helping working with developers develop this app, we wanted them to learn about focus groups. We wanted our youth to go to and meet with other teens to gain their perspectives on what they would want in an app. So our youth, besides the coding and building this mobile app, they've learned how to conduct a focus group. What is a focus group? This is a project, so they're learning project management. They're learning ideation. They had to try to idealize or create the app and what it would look like, user experience stuff. They're also learning problem solving, because when they do the beta test, they're going to go right back to those kids either the focus group with, let them sample the app to see if this is what they're looking for. If not, what do we need to change? And then they're going to come back to the mayor's office in Parks and Rec and show them how to use the app. So it's a multi-layered learning disciplines that they're learning and engaging in this project.
So what that does is actually build the kinds of skills that are the most important when it comes to coding these days. Actually, writing the code has become easy. The hard part is figuring out what you want the code to do.
Exactly.
And so user experience design, focus groups, getting feedback from your users, going back afterwards and getting early exposure to that. These are part of the sort of cutting edge techniques about how code not just gets written, but actually gets used by people.
Exactly.
When it becomes useful.
And you're reaching out to kids maybe from communities or families that are underserved sometimes mm-hmm. within our local community. Talk about that. How do you reach out to these kids? How do they get involved with you?
We do reach out. Our intentional outreach for the program, we have an intentional reach to male youth of color. But we're very inclusionary. So we have girls in our program. We have youth with disabilities in our program. And we have low opportunity white youth in our program. We try to reach out to youth that are on free or reduced lunch as well. So more of the marginalized youth that don't have access to this information. And we all know information is powerful. So iUrban Teen is basically a conduit of information. We're sharing this with them. They may or may not be interested, but at least they know the information now. They have that access.
Now, Dina, this is not the first grassroots project you've set up, and it's been years since you have been thinking about youth and mm-hmm. kids that are not getting included in what we have going in our society today. And what I've seen you do from a distance for many years is literally reaching out to our brain trust of the future and trying to figure out which minds we're leaving untapped. Mm-hmm. Talk about your deeper work. How did you first start doing this? Which was your first organization, and how have you evolved to this point?
You know, I always say that diversity, inclusion, and equity is at the core of everything that I do. In fact, when I was, I tell everyone, when I was little, when I was in, on the playground, I was the kid that wanted to make sure everybody was included. So for me, it's about being fair and making sure that all communities have access to information and have a pathway. So that's at the core of everything that I do. I'm what they call a social entrepreneur. You know, you can't get rich at doing this kind of stuff, but you can get rich with the passion and the service that you do. But when I left, I used to work for the city of Portland for a long time. And even there, I was doing a lot of what you would consider social justice work, creating a lot of different diversity initiatives. I created a series of infinity groups there called DEEP, which was for some of the employees of color and others there at the city. And when I left the city, I started my own company, a Mosaic Blueprint, where I do diversity consulting, recruiting, and giving candidates access to jobs here in the metro area, Portland metro area. But I always had in the back of my mind the next generation. What could I do to create or share information and build that yellow brick road, you know, for our more marginalized youth and families? So that's when I conceptualized iUrban Teen, and it's just been a grassroots movement, you know, and community amongst itself now.
Greg, I want to bring it back to you because I know that you have been working in the arena of early childhood development. How does that work into this as well? I know that you're not tapping three-year-olds to write code, but you have a sense of the spectrum of how our future leaders evolve. So where does the iUrban Teen project fit in with the overall arc of what we need all of our kids to learn? If you could just speak to that, connecting the early childhood to the teenagers writing code.
If I could, I'd like to first fill in my own background and how that has led to me having an interest in this. Because the fact is, I benefited from exposure to STEM disciplines early in my life. I participated in the Minority Introduction to Engineering program at UCLA my junior year of high school, which was the only time I learned what engineering was all about, or the earliest. And then I was recruited into the Minority Engineering program at Cal State University Northridge, which was started by Dr. Raymond B. Landis, a very, very successful program where I've still got a great deal of friends who are in the engineering and computer science and math disciplines today that came there through this program. Folks that probably wouldn't be in those areas were not for that early exposure. And now I'm sitting here with a PhD, having a wonderful career in information technology that I attribute to that early exposure. So my affiliation with iUrban Teen is more about giving back some of the advantages that I received coming up. So I just kind of wanted to start with that.
I also wanted to say, throw in there, that and one of the reasons why I have Dr. Martin here today, he is one of our most active members on our council, meaning he participates in our parent group that we have now called the League of Engaged Parents. He comes to all of those meetings, and he also comes to our teen council meeting called the Talented 10th group that we newly formed. He's there as well. So he really walks his talk when he's talking about giving back. He's present. He's there. And I know that any of our teens or families can contact him and he'll be there.
Thank you, Dina. So to get back to your original question, iUrban Teen fills a gap that is important for the American economy. The fact is, we can't fill all the jobs that are going to come up in the areas of science, technology, engineering, and math if we don't do something different in terms of getting our youth excited about this. And this is youth across the board in any community, but probably the most untapped communities give us the greatest potential to fill those gaps. But we have to do something in order to keep our economy going. We can't continue to import talent when those countries that are giving us that talent are starting to develop their own economies to the extent that people don't necessarily need to come here for the land of opportunity anymore. They can go a number of different places to get opportunities. So in order for us to continue to have a great economy and provide opportunities for our citizens, our youth are going to have to, you know, take advantage of these opportunities. And they can't do that if they don't know about them.
When you have young people at your events, you have young people learning how to create apps. What are they telling you? What are the young people, what do they think? What do they need? What do they want to see for the future?
They love the program because, again, we make them a part of it. We ask them, consistently ask them, what is it that they want us to do? What do they want us to bring forward? And we create that for them. So it's not all about us dictating to them what we feel they should do. A lot of times it's a give and take. They tell us what they want, and we make it happen.
Yeah, the approach these youth are taking to the mayor's office program, they help design that approach.
Mm-hmm.
They help set their own objectives.
Well, I hope a whole bunch of them get jobs at Portland City Hall in the future because there's not enough people of color that work there, and everybody agrees that that's true, frankly.
Oh, yeah, very
I'm not,
much
I'm not
true.
Saying that's part of your goal, but I'm just saying, now I want to switch gears a little bit. How can our KBOO community radio listeners support what you're doing?
I always need volunteers, you know, for our events and even to help brainstorm and to outreach to other youth in the community. So I would say volunteer and outreach.
I'm surprised Dina didn't mention funding, but we can always use a little help on the funding side to help fund some of the administrative positions, for example, that currently are being operated by Dina and a very small group of very, very committed volunteers. So we could make this program far more repeatable across the country if we had a staff, and that requires funding. So dollars help too.
How can people connect with you then to support you in the ways that you need?
Two things. They can go to our website, which is iurbanteen.org, or they can simply send us an email, you know, to info@iurbanteen.org.
Is there anything important about this work that I did not ask you about that you want to make sure is included in any story or interview?
I want to add what I've witnessed, which is the parent engagement, which is extraordinary in iUrbanteen. There are a lot of different programs out there that do this kind of work, all have, you know, validity and value. But the parents that engage with Dina's program are extremely intense in their engagement, and they are loyal to the program. They're excited about it, and they come up with their own ideas on what to do, and it's really impressive working with the parents. So I just think that's a unique thing about iUrbanteen.
I just want to thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for having us, Lisa. This was such a great opportunity for us to share our program.
Thanks, Lisa. It's been fun.
For KBOO News, I'm Lisa Loving.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, the